For just one more day in the land of the living. We thank you, Lord, that while we still have strength and blood running warm through our veins, that we're able to worship you and we're able to bless your holy name. Lord, stretch upon our hearts right now. We cast all our cares, all our burdens, Lord, unto you, for you are the one whose cares, the God of all comfort, comfort us. We thank you, God, for blessing us to make it through one more week that we're able to come into the house of the Lord. So, Father, we pray that you can we confess our sins to you, redeem us, forgive us, Almighty God, so that the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be accepted, Lord, in thy sight. For you are our rock and you are our redeemer, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us worship our Lord. You can sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift up my voice. Together, we want to encourage you to worship and fellowship Him a little something like this. We want to take continue to worship our God as our music ministry leads us further in worship. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Scripture, let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your blessed word. Lord, speak to our hearts, for your servants are listening. May we have your word hidden in our heart that we might not sin against you. Lord, enlighten us with understanding of wisdom and knowledge through your word. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you can join me with me in the New Testament, coming from the letter from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we'll be looking at this 15th. Chapter. And as we look at this, I'm going to read in our hearing verses 51 to 58 of 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, verses 51 to 58. Those are able to stand and honor the reading of God's word, you're able to do so. If you're in your New Testament towards, you're going to go past our Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to land on some letters. We're going to look at some 1 Corinthians. There is a 2 Corinthians. So if you see a 2 for there, go back and you'll find 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, starting at verse 51 to the end of this chapter, verse 58. Amen. I see this ceasing of pages turning. Amen. Let us keep our Bibles open and hopefully we arrive to the same conclusion together. But the Word of God says, "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Praise God for his word. You may be seated. Amen. Let's take a moment of time just to pray. Father, we just thank you for allowing us to come together. Father, as we continue on in worship, oh God, continue to help us to have our mind gazed on you. Almighty God, help us to meditate on this word and be ready to receive a word from you. Oh, Father, we pray that, Lord, that you will move in an awesome way and you will set the captives free, oh God, and remove issues and train and problems within our bodies, Almighty God, that we can surrender all to you because you are our peace, you are our healer, you are our restorer. And so, Father, we're just trusting in you to minister to our hearts and to our minds, heal us, transform us, renew us, and revive us. As only you can, Lord, we pray. Bless us as we continue on to worship you. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's continue on to worship him.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Resurrection.
Yes.
Do you believe that He's coming back
yes.
again?
Yes.
To know that He is alive.
Yes.
He has all power and all authority.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Yes.
Think about when we join and come to worship on Resurrection Sunday. We come because we believe in the resurrection.
Yes.
We're going to talk about today how He gives us victory through Jesus Christ. And I'm saying He means God the Father gives us victory through God the Son, Jesus Christ. And through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And when we understand this, we understand the power of life that will never end. See, resurrection is a Christian term. Resurrection within Christianity means the rising of Christ from the dead.
Sir.
And the resurrection of all the dead and the end of times when Christ returns. So I'm going to re-emphasize that when we speak of the resurrection, that's two implications. One, that Christ defeated death to not die again. I want to emphasize that. Not to die again. There's been people that have been resuscitated, but they had another funeral. Y'all quiet on me. But he rose never to die again. And then we're waiting to understand what that looks like when he comes back. And we all will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. That's what it means to Christians. But this term resurrection, as you might be familiar with, has been used in other places. As we talk about resurgence and revival, but yet all those things in. But the resurrection of Jesus does not end. The fact that Christ shows us the power of his life and his resurrection in his life is why we look forward and why it's always a high attendance Sunday on Easter or Resurrection Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Because of the joy of knowing that death has been defeated. The factual event of Christ's resurrection, I want to emphasize again, the factual event of Christ's resurrection means also to demonstrate how we are living proof that he lives. Because a lot of people let you know that they might believe in a historical figure of Jesus, but they don't believe in the resurrection. Christ, being fully man and fully God, did die on the cross. And if you don't believe me, then why does a Roman Caesar count his calendar back to the birth of Jesus? Y'all know that's why they go down to zero star count. They say he tried to pinpoint when the records have the birth of Jesus. And then he was crucified. That's why Paul said it wasn't done in no secret, no corner. Everybody knew that he was crucified.
Yes, sir.
But also, that's why Paul, as we're going to talk about in our text today, gives many witnesses a proof of his resurrection. Not only did I see him, Peter saw him, John saw him, the people saw him, other people saw him. They let him know that I'm not making this up. There's proof, there's evidence that he rose again. But while we're living on this journey and we're waiting for the total resurrection, somebody say total resurrection.
Total resurrection.
We gotta deal with this earthly journey. We're going to have adversity. We're going to have difficulty. We're going to have problems because Christ died so that we might be set free. But now we must learn how to die to this world and live for Christ. So let us put our gaze towards heaven. With our eyes set on the prize in Christ, the high calling, we got heaven in our view. And with this heavenly view, we're going to walk in his grace. We're going to walk in his mercy, knowing we have victory over death. And so that's why we want to talk about this resurrection. So we look in this 15th chapter of Corinthians. I read to us earlier in the time of worship, verses 51 to 58. But when you unpack this chapter, this 15th chapter, Paul is arguing the evidence and the proof of why there is a resurrection. And also why we preach this great gospel of Christ. When you look verse 12 of 19, the same 15th chapter, I'm going to read to you here. It says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Oh, Paul, don't lay down an argument right there. That if there is no resurrection, then why are we so happy? But since we know that there is a resurrection, we know that there's more to life than this. We know this life is going to end, this world is going to end, because he says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And so therefore, since Christ was raised from the dead, and verse 20 says that he is the fruit of the first harvest. So when you read this, verse 20, 15 chapters, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. He is the first fruit. What he means here about the first fruit is that when they see the first grain, it means that's a promise of more things to come.
Yes, sir.
And so Christ rising from the grave is the promise of more things to come. The work of Christ is for our eternal redemption, so that we might forever be with God and know no death and no pain and no suffering. But our faith in Jesus should lead to a change of life now, as he'll give us our full change when he comes back again. That's why we must preach this message of the cross. Because there is no resurrection if there's no death on the cross. That's why some might find it foolish for him to die on the cross, as Paul is writing this definitely in the time that why would a God die on the cross? Mm-hmm. The reason why it sounds foolish is because they understand that a Roman citizen would die on the cross. A person of good dignity would not die on the cross. But only criminals die on the cross. Only traitors and liars and thieves, the lowest of the low, die on the cross. But what Paul is pointing out, that he showed us that to be great, you got to be the least. And Jesus humbled himself to die on the cross. And so therefore he preached this message of the cross, which is foolish to some, but wisdom to others, because it's the power of our salvation.
Amen.
But we are being saved now, and we know this very power of God. So then, but what the cross means to us. Mark 8:34 says, then calling the crowd to join the disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must what? Give up your way and take up your cross and follow me. We must follow Christ and realize that we too must know death in order to know the resurrection. We place our faith in Jesus, that on the cross he bore our sins. He bore our shame. He bore our penalty. He bore our guilt. He bore our punishment, that we might know eternal salvation and never be separated from God. And then we understand that when he was buried in a borrowed man's tomb, that he rose from the grave. That is the resurrection. And now let's think about, why did death come in? We know why death came in, right? We always talk about it in Genesis, right? Because of sin. And then, and we place all this responsibility on Adam, because God gave Adam the instructions, do not eat of this tree or surely you shall die. The enemy took full advantage of him, saying, you surely won't die. Go ahead and take a bite. And so Eve and Adam took a bite of the fruit, and lo and behold, they did not physically die. But spiritually, they were separated from God. And God kicked them out the garden. Y'all don't hear me? And so because of their sin, they lost the connection they had with God that had to be restored through Jesus Christ. So see, just as death came into this world through one man, guess what? Life came into this world through one man. And that one man is Jesus. Just as everyone dies because we belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Therefore, anybody be in Christ, he becomes a what? A new creature, a new creation. Jesus said it at the time when he went to go raise Lazarus from the grave. He says, I am the life and the resurrection. See, Adam could not produce life, but Jesus, because he is life, can give life. I'm the living bread. I'm the living water. He is always able to produce and give life. So therefore, that's why he's able to defeat death and give life. And then we, being his offsprings, will receive eternal life. So we think about this resurrection. Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection to come. And they already know this resurrection is not a new doctrine to the church. But some did not believe it and understand it. But yet if you go back and look in Job believed in the resurrection. Job 19:25-26 says, but as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I will stand upon the earth at last, and after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. Now remember what we read earlier, right? It says this mortal body must put on immortality. He says, after my body decayed, knowing that this body can't last, knowing this body's going to go, but I know in my body I will see God. I know my Redeemer lives. Matter of fact, remember when he was at the Lazarus tomb, he says, I know in the last day there's going to be a resurrection. So they understood in the last day there's going to be a resurrection. And so we know this resurrection physically is going to come, but also there's a spiritual resurrection. So we must consider ourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. When we think about baptism in the church, right, it symbolizes us being dead. And when we come out of the water, of us being resurrected. And so this is spiritual awakening, that now I'm no longer living for me, but I'm living for the one who died for me, the one who bled for me, the one who set me free. And so therefore, if I'm rose again, right, then I am dead and I'm living a new life in Christ. So I'm walking with Christ and I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing, and acceptable unto God. I'm going to walk in right relationship with Him. I'm going to live in the light. I'm going to walk in the light, and realizing that though I'm trying to live righteous and be righteous, I know the enemy's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. That's why we got to put on the whole armor of God. Be steadfast and be unmovable, stand in the power of God's might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and things of unseen of this world. So we understand the enemy wants to take us down. He wants to strike us down. That's why we got to call on God. That's why we like that good old hymn, I need thee, Lord. Yes. I need thee. How often do we need thee? Every hour we need thee. And so we understand that we need His power. We need Him to guide us and direct us, because we are in spiritual warfare. Tell you that we're in spiritual warfare. So we got to stand in the power and the victory we have through Jesus, that sin has been defeated. Death has been defeated. He has given us victory through who? Jesus Christ. And so we understand that not only is there a physical resurrection, there's a spiritual resurrection, that we ought to live for Him all the days of our lives. God is going to change. It's telling you that we're going to be changed. New Living Translation has, we're going to be, there's a transformation. But basically, it's basically saying that it's going to be changed. And how the word in the Greek basically say how things are going to be changed is like a change of clothes. And so think about how when you put on your favorite outfit, you just feel like a different person. Am I talking to somebody here? When you get dressed up with your best outfit, you put it on, you're like, yeah, I look good in this. And we live in a social media time, too, when somebody got that best outfit, they already posted on social media. Everybody know, I know I look good in this. And so that's the time we have, right? And especially the time, think about when we feel good, we look good, and we go out, and we have vacation with our family and our friends. We take the picture, we show everybody, see, look at my baby, look at the graduation, right? We look good, we feel good. So here it's pointing out that it's going to be a change. But here's another thing I want to highlight here, that in this time, they didn't have a wardrobe like we got a wardrobe. All they had was one coat and a backup. And so in order, when they got a new clothes, it had to be fresh. It had to be good. They're like, yo, I got me a new coat. That's why Joseph's brothers were mad. Why he get a new coat with all them colors in it? We didn't get any. We've been working hard for you, dad. You gonna get the young man some stuff, right? And so they understood what it means to have what you have. So God is pointing out, I'm going to give you something new, something special. We're going to be changed. The amazing power. Join with me, 15 chapter verses 38 to 39. It says, then God gives in this new body He wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh, one kind of humans, another of animals, another of birds, another for fish. So it's pointing out that this body that we currently have right now is of one fashion. He's going to give us a new body that's of another glory. The amazing power of the resurrection shows us the power that He's going to change us from our sin-sick bodies to a more glorious body. Verse 40 in chapter 15 says, there are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly bodies. And so we're going to be changed. So here it is, that's why we like to sing that song, Troubles Don't Last Always. Many of us know how, as we get older, you find aches and pains and joints you didn't know you had. How many of you sat down one time on the floor to play with your grandchild or your child, and they jumped up and you were slow to get back up? You remember the days when you could fall down and jump right back up? But now you realize that if I get down, I might not make it back up. And so we understand how our bodies change. We become older. And I remember there's a woman who used to always come and worship and Zion, a former member. She would walk in and ask, "How you doing?" So I'm kicking, but not kicking high. Understanding, like, baby, you know, motion is happening, but it's not happening like it used to, but I'm still here. We become more grateful, realizing that it might take me some time. How many times somebody told somebody, "You go ahead, I'll catch up with you." Because I know my journey, I know it's going to take me a little while to get there, but I know where I'm going. Am I talking to somebody here? Amen. So when you know where you're going, you don't realize that I can take my time because I got my destination in my view. So when we understand I'm living for Jesus, I realize it's going to take some time. It's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some bruises. There's going to be some aches. There's going to be some pain. But I know that troubles don't last. So let me reveal you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we all will be transformed or changed. I like how he says it will happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye. When the last trumpet is blown, for when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live. How long? Forever. What I want to highlight here first, he says we will not all die, but another more accurate translation of his word is that we will not all sleep. And why I want to highlight we will not all sleep, because what did we say that Christ did early on Sunday morning? He rose. You rise from your bed. You rise from your rest. You rise from your sleep. So he's pointing out that it's a euphemism for death to be asleep. That's what he said about Lazarus. He said Lazarus is asleep. But it was euphemism. They're saying that he was dead, but I'm going to rise him from the grave. And so when we fall asleep, God's going to wake us up with an alarm. Y'all see that there? It says when the trumpet blows. And so we, many of us have been to military services and they played the song Reveille. And they say that they played the song Taps. And when they play the song Taps, right, there's a time of the lights to go out. It's a time to rest and time to go to sleep. But in the morning, they will play the song Reveille. And that's to wake them up and have them to go. And there's instructions. Whenever they hear that sound, what they're supposed to do. To salute the flag and stop what they're doing. Or take a moment to meditate. And so basically every sound has a moment, has a purpose of what they're going to do. But we're not going to hear Reveille. We're not going to hear a task. But we're going to hear a sound from the angel. They're going to tell everybody that's asleep to wake up. And those who are not asleep will be changed with those who have been asleep. Which means that you don't have to worry about somebody getting there before you. We all going to get there together. It says, in a twinkling of an eye, we all shall be changed. And so when we will be changed, it points out that Christ has come back again. But now we're waiting for Christ to come back. And our bodies to be changed. That we might be able to see the Lord. But we know we can't see him as we are. For we understand this body that we're in right now is sin sick. We are not righteous. There's nothing that we can do. We are all infected, Isaiah says it this way, and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Matter of fact, Paul put it in Romans 3:10, it says, as the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. And so while we're waiting on Jesus to come back, let us not get so filled up with ourselves thinking that we all good, that we're all right, but we are all not, because it's only by God's grace and his mercy that we're all right and we're all good, because he is good. Not because we've done any work, but he did the work on the cross. And so then we must remind ourselves then, when our dying bodies have been transformed, have been changed, they will never die. Y'all see that there in the scripture? That's when the scriptures will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? For the sin is a sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I read that? One more time, I'm on my way out. Looking at verse 54, it says, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will what? Never die. Remember, Christianity term for resurrection means to never die again. So when somebody says they had a resurrection, they can't die. Come on, somebody. If Christ got up, right, if there is a resurrection, he's not dead. He's alive. We serve a living God. And so for us to be resurrected, we must live for him and not what? Die. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone get the Father but through me. He says, I'm the life and the resurrection. If you believe me, though you die, yet you shall live. So you know, you ought to live. And so now we're living. We don't have to live defeated. We don't have to live beaten down. We don't have to live as if we don't have something hopeful to look for. It says here that death is swallowed up in victory, which means that death had an opponent, and its opponent was better than death. Death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Think about this, right? Anybody ever been stung before? And how the sting can hurt you, but some people, when you realize certain things can sting you and they can cause different things. Because some stings are poisonous. So they might paralyze you, they might kill you. And then some get stings that don't hurt them. But some can get stings and they could be deadly allergic. But what I want to highlight here is that God has immunized us. That when we get stung by sin, we won't die. How is that? Because we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And since Jesus has defeated death and defeated sin, the enemy can hit us with his best shot. We might fall down, but I guarantee you can get up again. Because Jesus is up. We got power in us that's always going to be able to lift us up. For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. Y'all see that there? What I want to highlight here, that it says the law gives sin its power. It which reminds us that God has shown us the law to show us what sin is. Because of the law, I know what a lie is. Because of the law, I know what it means to steal. Because of the law, I know what it means to covet it. And so therefore, the law lets me know what is wrong. And then because of the Spirit, I get guilty. I feel sad and I feel defeated. But when I find out about his grace, to realize that it's by grace I have been saved, not by works, because my works are horrible, my works are terrible. On my best day, I'm nothing but filthy rag. There's none righteous before the Lord. But by the blood of Jesus, I walk in his grace, I walk in his mercy, and I embrace his forgiveness. Can I talk about forgiveness for a moment?
Yes, sir.
Forgiveness means to let go. And so Jesus has let go of all our issues, all our struggles. He does not remind us of our sins, but he reminds us that I died for you. I died for you to change your life and live for me. And so therefore we should repent and turn around and walk right with him. Oh death, where is your sting? For sin, for the sin is the sting that results in death. And law gives sin its power. And then verse 57. Y'all see that there? But thanks be to God. I want to highlight here that death has been defeated. Christ is victorious.
Yes, sir.
Death has tried to kill us. Death has tried to stop us. But Christ has saved us. And what I want to highlight here is that Christ shows us the power of his grace and gives us victory over death. That's why when we get to that conjunction, but, it lets you know that something is coming that's on the contrary to what was before. It lets you know that what is coming might be in opposition or in contrast between the elements within the sentence. You know, like I was down, but now I'm up. I was sick, but now I'm healed. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But my master from the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water he lifted me, now safe am I, Jesus says. May I encourage you to understand that though we can look at some negative things we're going through, though we can say, but thanks be to God. I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to know that there's a but thanks be to God. I was sick, but God. I was lost, but God. I was confused, but God. I was out of my mind, but God. Anybody here glad? But God saved me,
but God redeemed me, but God forgave me, but God kept me, but God is my God and all, that I have victory through Jesus Christ. So you, God Almighty, thank the Lord for all things He's done for me. I'm so glad that I don't have to walk around defeated, but I can say, but thanks be to God, I got the victory through Jesus Christ. I can walk and be strong in His power. I can sing of His praises and glorify His name. Realize it's not because what I have done, but everything He has done for me. That's why we like to sing that song. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. I'm so glad that God is holy. I'm so glad He has victory. I'm so glad He's in control. I don't know what I would do without Him, but I thank God I ain't got to worry about it. He's a great help in the time of trouble. Good name, God's time is so messy. Real good. On your way home, you ought to roll your window down and yell out at your side and tell somebody, I got the victory. Jesus has set me free. Last verse. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Oh, praise God. Let us pray. Father, we just thank You for the victory we have through Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that through Your power, through Your might, through Your strength, that we can work with enthusiasm, knowing that our labor for You is not in vain. Father, we've gone through so many trials, so many tribulations, but Lord, through it all, we're still here. Because it's by Your grace and Your mercy. Though death will enter into this world, we thank You, God, that it's just a transformation. For this mortal body must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. So, Father, Lord, let us just thank You, God, for the decay. Let us thank You for the pain, knowing that this is only temporary. Because greater will be our reward when You come back again. So help us, O God, that we can endure, to be steadfast and immovable, knowing that we have the victory through Jesus. Father, might be someone here looking for a church home. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You had all day to Your church that should be saved. Father, might be someone who does not know Jesus and want to know Him and be baptized and know the communion of the saints. Oh, Father, we ask You to add on to Your church as only You can. Move in this space, we pray. Now, guys, we continue on with worship. Almighty God, we want to open up the hearts and just pray to surrender to You, Almighty Father, Lord. Minister to our hearts, minister to our minds, reveal to those things that You want us to lay down before You. Minister to us, O God. Search our hearts, O God. Comfort us, O God. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your presence. Move, Almighty God. Whoever will, you're welcome to come forward and just surrender to God. You can stay right where you are, but let us surrender to Him. We lift up our voices saying, I love You, Lord, today.
I love You. I love You.
Let Him minister to you.
Because you care for me.
In such a special way.
In such a special way.
second verse, my heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. To say, as we are looking to celebrate our 145th church anniversary on this Sunday, you're welcome to make your donation for our church anniversary. And so, you know, that's in addition to your tithes and your offerings. So, our God may lead you, welcome to give. May we follow the instructions of our junior ushers and their leaders. Amen. Amen. Can we praise God for them one more time?
Thank you.
Amen. We want to also share some announcements for this week's to come. This Friday at 6:30 p.m. at Star Hope, I'll be there and to help celebrate Bishop Joe Johnson's pre-retirement services. And so then on that Sunday, when we're having our church anniversary, they'll have the full celebration of Bishop Joe Johnson's retirement. And so many of you may know or may not know Bishop Joe Johnson, who have been serving over 40 years as pastor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we have men whose service is that long, and it does contribute so much to our community. Amen. I need an opportunity you can to come help celebrate. So those who may be free that Friday, I'll be there to give words of encouragement to them. You're able to come by. We'd be greatly appreciative just to celebrate another co-labor in this great ministry with that service in our community. Then also for our church anniversary, we want to have Sister Essie Ellis to come and share what we expect to celebrate on this Sunday. Not a meal. Again, I want to shout out to many of you that were able to come out on yesterday for the church cleanup. Thank you so much for y'all to come out. Some did some extra work in getting our stairs done and painting and done. So thank you so much. Shout out to all the great work and the committee to lead us in that. And so let us continue to just work out of church. If you walk around, you know something's out of place, go ahead and pick it up, throw it away. You notice, amen, let's keep our church nice and clean. And so when our guests show up, they can compliment you on how nice your church looks. You can say, yes, we work hard to make it look like this. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and prepare for the benediction. Thank you. as we thank you for the victory we have through Jesus. God, let us to keep us so we all meet again. All God's in the sing together. We got the victory.